1212, Dr. Dex, our first podcast. Hip hip
hooray.
We got trains. We got planes. We got insanes.
You made that same joke in a video I edited today.
What's that?
The trains, planes, and automobiles.
Oh, okay. It's funny because I don't think I've heard a train all day.
And as soon as we hit record, it's like, okay, let's have all the trains go by.
This is perfect background music for us. Really is, man. Nobody's gonna have a podcast like this. Hey guys, Jason Russell here, also known as Dr. Dex. Welcome to our inaugural, very first podcast on the Dr. Dex podcast. What's it called? Dr. Dex podcast channel?
It's Dr. Dex podcast.
This is the Dr. Dex podcast. Hosted by yours truly, Jason Russell. It's about 36 degrees out right now, and so we're all buttoned up and tidy. We're doing this straight from the job site, all right?
So if you hear drills and different things in the background, that's why.
Yeah, man. Like, we want to be real and raw. So we're not doing...
I'm four coats deep. Like, I have four coats on right now. It's really ridiculously been cold.
Yeah, and he's got battery. For our state, yeah, it's been pretty cold. I'll admit it. We've had a little bit of snow last week, and it was Snowmageddon. You know, the media was crazy and all that. And, you know, I don't like working in the snow, so we did take last Monday off.
Realistically, there was only 1 to 3 inches.
Yeah.
It really wasn't, and it melted, like, the same night.
Yeah, I mean, it was gone by the next day. But then it got really sunny, which I love, but it was also super crispy. So, like, first thing in the morning, when I get up at 5 a.m. and to start my work day, I leave the house around 7 a.m. So the truck is icy. It's cold. I got a new F-550 or a relatively new F-550. And it doesn't really warm up for about 4 or 5 miles of driving. You can sit there and let it warm up in the driveway, but you have to let it run for like 20, 30 minutes.
That's if you can get the door open that it's frozen shut.
Yeah, right? So that's true. Like, so what I've been doing is I've been hanging a beach towel over the whole front of my window, and I don't have an icy windshield in the morning when I go to work. I don't have to wait for my cab to thaw out the window. So sometimes the side windows are iced out, but the front, I can see where I'm going, man. So it's like pedal to the metal. I'm out of here. It's 7 a.m. Vroom. Let's go.
By the way, I'm DJ Studio Man for everyone who's the audio listeners. I'm basically the tech guy. You won't see me that often, but...
Calvin's he's a genius at...
Don't do this.
No? Why not? It's my podcast. I can say whatever I want.
Stop.
But check out Calvin Russell Rings while you're at it, because he does some really cool jewelry that maybe you guys would be interested in. I have some really cool rings. I got one that's made of dinosaur bones and meteorites and petrified wood.
Yeah, gold and diamonds.
Diamonds. I mean, he does
all that fun stuff.
Yeah, it's all, but in a different format than what your traditional ring. Or if you're into Pokemon, he does a whole Pokemon series. There's all kinds of stuff for the community that he's done, man. It's all kinds of cool stuff. So definitely check that out.
But anyway, if you see me looking over here, video watchers, I'm adjusting things, checking things. It's not exploding. We have a whole setup here outside on the job. I considered pitching you this being like on the job with Dr. Dex podcast.
Or whatever, man. I mean, you guys.
Whatever.
Leave a comment. Can they leave a comment?
On YouTube, they can.
On YouTube, you leave a comment below. I can do some tool demos or whatever we want right here on the podcast if you guys like. If you're into it, we thought this first initial episode would go back in history about me, myself, and my business and kind of give you a backstory of Dr. Dex and how that became a thing.
But before we do that, can you tell the listeners what we can expect from this podcast?
Nothing.
There you go.
I'm just kidding. Basically... What we do here is we build high-end custom upper echelon works of art. So we're not your average square. We're not a production builder. we take a lot longer to build a deck than most people do. We're not concerned about how fast we can get it done. We care about how badass it looks at the end of the day. So all of our cuts are on point. We do a lot of deck board bending. We stay true to ourselves as far as the caliber of quality that we install in. Nothing's ever unfinished. There's not a whole lot that we leave untouched. So,
and if you're new, you can check out his Instagram to get proof of that.
Yeah.
And
thank you. Yeah.
What can they expect from this podcast specifically?
Well, there's going to be some cool tips and tricks. You're going to learn a little bit more history about me. I think we're going to offer a premium service to get a little bit deeper into some of the finer nuances, maybe about maybe potentially talking about financials, design, and those kind of things. But I think the coolest thing, the reason why you guys should consider listening to this podcast is because I have a national reach with my social media. And because I have a national reach of my social media, I go to a lot of events during the year where I see the top deck builders in the nation. Even across the pond, like around the world, I see some of the best deck builders known to mankind.
I've got
all these guys are my friends because I'm not a jerk. You know, I get along with everybody. I'm a pay it forward kind of person. So I've already lined up three of the nation's top deck builders to be on our podcast, and they don't even know anything about this thing.
And what I'm doing over here is making virtual notes.
We're polishing, right? But this podcast is never going to be polished because it's always going to be on the job site. So we're taking an hour to 2 hours out of one day a week, or one day a week? Yeah. Are we doing four of these a month?
We should.
Okay, well,
let us know first.
Let us know, guys. What you think?
Let's get it started, man.
And so, basically, right, you're going to eventually be online. You have to be online to do this, right? To hear this or no?
Yeah, it's on YouTube.
Online,
and
okay. So
Spotify.
You're online. So I'm going to be getting some of the best deck builders and the owners of the companies, and sometimes the people that design the decks. Some people are going to, I'm going to have factory reps on this. I've got so many people lined up already that have told me yes. All I had to do is ask. I didn't offer them anything because I'm such a great person. They just said, sure.
Oh, yeah, you're the greatest.
Yeah, I'm the greatest. No, you know what? I'll never toot my own horn, but I've had a lot
of
people.
You just did.
I have a lot of, that was a joke, man. So
some people don't know.
Yeah, okay, I was kidding, guys.
Some people just take everything so literally.
I don't toot my own horn, but I've had a lot of people call me the goat of deck building, but I would never lay claim to that ever. I have several first place trophies, though, for deck building competitions. If you want me to back it up, I can. I mean, I have so many, I can't even hang them all on the wall. I just stack them up in my office. They just sit on the floor. Yeah, cool, man.
Cool, I guess.
Yeah, whatever.
Cool, Dad.
So, yeah. Oh, by the way, he's my son, too.
Yeah.
Studio
people,
man.
People don't know that either.
Yeah. I used to have long hair, too, but not anymore. I never could grow it that long, though.
You never tried.
I tried. I think it's the construction. Like, you wear it in a ponytail, and it gets snagged on hit and sawdust and all that crap, and I just...
You got to keep your ends cut, because they split off. What happens is, like, they split off your ends, the ends of your hair, and they just turn to dust.
That's probably what kept happening to me.
So you got to like cut them to make it grow longer.
And I was always wearing a ponytail no matter what I did. So it just kind of eventually one day I just cut it all off.
So speaking of when you had long hair, tell us about the beginning of Dr. Dex.
Dr. Dex.
How the name came to be, how you started.
Let's go before that. Let's go back. Let's go back to 1987.
All right.
Okay, 1987. Ozzy Osbourne. All right, so in 1987, I graduated from high school, and I had to decide what I wanted to do with my life. My father was a master carpenter in Reno, Nevada, and he was a deck builder. He did all kinds of custom wood stuff. He was really delved a lot into different things, but he kept going back to building decks. So I used to fly down in the summer and work for him when I was younger, as a teenager. And then when I was 18 and I graduated from high school, my stepfather, he got me a job with a local management company on a carpentry team. This management company used to be responsible for several hundreds, if not thousands, of of units, of complexes, of apartment complexes and things like that. Some of them were real dives, like right near the military, local military bases, and they were just in poor repair. They needed all kinds of repair work. So my first few jobs were extremely dangerous. Like, I would be doing a demolition on an old deck, and it was so rotten, I shouldn't have been standing on it, because as I'm tearing it apart, it's starting to collapse, and I have to back off into the breezeway, and then the whole thing would collapse into the ground. And I'd almost, like, you know, I could have fallen 10 feet to my demise, and nobody was even there paying attention to me. I was just doing it on my own, and I was energetic. I was pretty strong, and I was bodybuilding, working out, and all that. So it was, you know, it was a job. I think I made, like, maybe, did I even make $15 an hour back then? No, it couldn't have been that much. I was probably making $12 an hour or something like that. I was 18 years old, had the whole world in front of me, making $12 an hour. And then I started working with this old crotchety old guy named Wayne. And he was into country western, man. And he used to go line dancing every weekend. Wow. But he was a funny dude. He actually installed a couple cool values in carpentry, but I never really admired his. I think he's dead now, so I can say this.
Well,
okay. I never really he's admired his style of carpentry.
Let's talk crap.
I didn't admire his style of carpentry or his finish work too much, but you know, it was a place to work and a start, and I worked underneath him, and I was the grunt. You know, you got to start somewhere. So eventually.
Gotta cut your teeth.
Eventually, that carpentry job ended up going into, it went into me serving evictions for people. There were so many people not paying their rent that they needed somebody to, like, go evict people with the sheriff.
Really?
So I ended up on this eviction team. And then the part that sucked about that is you had to move the people out of their apartment right then and there. We were going to serve them an eviction notice.
You had to throw them out?
We threw them out of their houses.
And all their stuff?
All their stuff. We moved all of their stuff out of their apartments and either into the street, under a breezeway, or one time the sheriff made us get a U-Haul for the guy. Even though he was thousands of dollars behind in rent, we had to go get a U-Haul and put all his stuff in a U-Haul so he got in it and drove away.
Wow.
So we basically packed his whole house up for free.
That's one way to do it. Just pick up the...
One time we had to empty out a waterbed. I mean, this lady, I was so embarrassing for this lady. We were emptying out her waterbed. I know this has nothing to do with building decks, but it's kind of funny. So
it's history. It's Dr. Deck's history.
We're draining the waterbed, and she's got nylons in the corners of all the bed, like tie down, like for tie down for kinky sexual stuff, man.
Okay.
And then she comes home while we're like have the bed's half drained. And
you know, the sun came out and is blitzing our image a little.
Yeah, so
you keep talking, I'll adjust.
Sure. So it was just weird. It was just a weird situation, man. Like, this girl's coming home. She's just distraught because she knows she's getting kicked out of her house. Like, I don't know how many times you get an eviction notice before, you know, somebody delivers on the promise, like, hey, we're kicking you out of here. So I did that for about 6 to 8 months, and that started grinding on me a little bit. So I decided that was no longer something I wanted to do. So I got an opportunity to go to Arizona and work at my uncle's bar called Studebaker's, and it was a 50s, 60s joint. I don't know, maybe somebody out there has been there before. Maybe there's still one open in Tempe or something, but the one in Tucson, I moved to Tucson, Arizona. And I lived there for about a year. I was a bar back, and then I worked into this bartender position, and that was kind of fun. I was the youngest bartender in Tucson at 19 years old.
Couldn't even drink.
Well, not technically.
Well, you could, but
technically,
like,
I couldn't drink.
We all know what you mean.
Oh, man, I was, you know, half the time I was working, I was drunk, but and I was underage. It's like, it was kind of funny. In Arizona at the time, there was this weird law that at 19 years old, you were allowed to serve, but you couldn't drink till you're 21. So I just exploited the hell out of that opportunity. I just couldn't help myself. It was a lot of fun. It was fun while it lasted. And then eventually, again, I came to a crossroads where my uncle lost the bar, and he was moving out of town, and everybody hated him. And I was like, man, this kind of sucks.
Why do you hate him?
Well, because, you know, when you don't get your paycheck, know, that kind of thing. And it wasn't his fault. Like, his business partners were taking, they were taking too much money out of the till. And I don't know exactly why it went bad, but it went bad. So I ended up moving to Reno, Nevada.
Back to Reno.
Back to Reno. And I worked for my dad for a couple of years. And that's when I met my wife, at the time my girlfriend, Kiki. And I met her in Reno. And then I wasn't getting along with my dad after a couple of years. And I decided, I don't want to handle this. I can't. Okay, there's a train, guys.
You decided there's a train coming.
Train. Airplanes and trains. So I kind of went to Kiki and I said, hey, I need to get out of here. I can't handle this relationship I have with my father. So I want to move back to Washington State where the rest of my family is. And, you know, you can come with me, or if you don't want to come with me, I get it, you know. And I kind of did a bad thing. I kind of forced her to decide, to choose me or not. And she decided to come with me. So her grandfather was a long-haul semi-truck driver. So he came to Reno and we packed all of our stuff up in a little U-Haul trailer and all of our cars and trucks, and we loaded them all onto a semi, and then she drove her little car, and we hauled everything up to Tacoma. We were pretty broke, so we had like $50 left, and really sad. We had to find a place to unload the semi and get our cars off the semi truck.
You had the cars on the semi?
I had two cars and the trailer on the semi.
The trailer?
A U-Haul trailer, full enclosed trailer, like my work trailer.
In the semi?
On top. It was just a flatbed semi.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Okay, so we had two trucks and a trailer on the semi, and we needed to unload this semi truck, right? And we're like, oh, how are we going to do this? So we went to this business park in Lakewood. You've been there before. And we found a guy that would allow us to unload the semi truck onto his loading dock. And he charged us $50. It was the last $50 that we had. And mom was in tears. I mean, my wife, she wasn't my wife, but she was just beside herself. She was crying.
I mean, I imagine you.
Yeah,
she goes with you, and then
yeah, and we have absolutely nothing.
You start from ground zero.
Yeah, we literally started from nothing, absolutely just dirt poor, nothing. We had zilch. So okay, I'm gonna speed this up a little bit now because I think you know. So we get to town. My brother has this house he wants to remodel. So he starts paying me like $15 an hour to remodel this house. Kiki gets a job at this temporary agency in title and escrow. Well, you know, turn the clock. She ends up becoming an assistant title officer and a plans examiner, and she's doing really well in her job. And I start Dr. Dex. In 1991, I decided to start my own decking company in Tacoma, Washington. So,
what made you make that decision?
It's the only thing I knew. It's what I knew. I knew I could build a deck. I didn't know anything of the business side. I went to the School of Hard Knocks. I didn't go to college. I didn't take any business classes. I didn't learn anything about how to run a business. So Kiki was working at the title company, and I started doing decks. I went to my grandfather and asked him to loan me the money I needed to get licensed and bonded and insured, which is around $1,600 I borrowed from him. It's the only money I've ever borrowed from anybody in my life. And he gave me that loan so that I could be legitimate. And then I started advertising in the local newspaper for decks. And that would get me enough work to just start low. I think my first couple decks I built for $6 or $7 a square foot. And now I charge $65.
how much would that be a completed?
That's for a cedar deck with like standard framing.
Oh yeah, because composite wasn't really around.
No, Trex wasn't Trex wasn't a thing back then. Nothing was. It was cedar and pressure treated lumber.
Uh huh.
There was no composites at that point in time.
But do you remember your very first thing you built? In Washington?
Yeah.
Where was it?
It was in University Place.
Ironic.
Yeah.
That's where we are now.
Like, yeah, that's very close.
Yeah, somewhere near that city.
It was in a neighborhood called Grandview West. Which is down off of Grandview. You know where that is. You've probably driven through the neighborhood before.
Do you know what? Do you know what you built?
Yeah, it was like a little 12x16 cedar deck with some railings, with some split rail, branch style railing, and a couple steps. And I borrowed my brother's van to get the materials because he had a little rack on top of his van. So I borrowed his van so I could get the materials to the job site. It was kind of scary back then. I did it all by myself. I built this whole deck by myself, and I had limited amount of tools. I had, and then one of my buddies, Jim, he worked at a pawn shop, so he immediately hooked me up with like four or five things I needed to build decks with. And then he knew I was poor, so he would hook me up for $15. I could get a new skill saw, or for $20, I'd get a new cordless drill, or whatever I needed, man. He was so good, and the owner of the pawn shop was so cool. Like, he would let me get things at cost just so I could get going. I didn't know what a new tool was. Until 10 or 15 years into my career, because I was always buying used tools from the pawn shop, because I'd go there and hang out, and then I'd go shopping. We'd go into the back room, and I would look at stuff, and I'd go, ooh, if this comes available, I'd really like this. Because people, when you pawn something, you take a loan on your tool or whatever, and then you get so many days to pay it back, or you lose it. Mm-hmm. So when people forget, oh man, is my pawn ticket up or whatever, then anytime that they don't cash back, then that tool comes out. So I would put a little sticky note on stuff, and then he'd say, hey, that impact driver came out, or that airless paint sprayer is available if you still want it. And, you know, instead of being $2,500, I get it for like $250.
There you go.
It was a sweet deal. So anybody struggling out there, become buddies with somebody at a pawn shop.
How you do it?
Get yourself some cheap tools.
Those pawn shops aren't as popular as they were
anymore. No, unfortunately, the one I went to is gone now. You're right. They're not as popular as they used to be. The internet, I think the internet is kind of, eBay and the internet have really taken away, because I know that
Craigslist and all that.
Craigslist, as the pawn shop started to their demise, they were selling stuff on eBay out of the pawn shop. And it became like a large set, like jewelry. You know, but I never really got caught up in, I never pawned anything. I would just buy stuff from the pawn shop. I got some really sweet deals on some like tool kits, like electrician set. Like, man, there's so many pliers and screwdrivers and all kinds of miscellaneous crap in here. It's got to be $1,000 worth of stuff for $200. I'm in, man. I'll buy that.
Do you still have that stuff?
I still have it.
Because I look in your shop because I do rings in there sometimes, and there's like this really old specific like blue electrical kit that I always see. And I was, as you were telling the story, I was like, was that the one?
Well, that blue electrical kit, I actually made that myself, because you can't go to a store and buy that. That's about $1,000 worth of crap stuffed into one little box. Mm. But then I have this whole other tool set. A bag with just all these different cool stuff in it, and that I got from the pawn shop. And okay. I use it all the time at home, but I don't bring it to work because I know better. It would end up becoming lost and rusty and all nasty. So
true and real.
I try to, like, anything that doesn't make it on the job site ends up at my shop, and if it doesn't make it at the shop, it ends up in the trash.
It ends up at the dump.
Yeah, city pretty dump. Much, city dump. We only live a couple miles from it, so it's real easy to go.
So you get started building squares out of cedar.
Yep.
Pawning tools. Well, not pawning, but buying
hawk tools.
Used tools.
Yep.
What's next? What happens next?
Let's go into, cedar decks. Then this stuff came out, this composite decking product called Trex.
We all know it.
Okay.
Even I know it.
Yeah. And it was basically ground up pallets and plastic bags. And it wasn't great, but it was better than wood, man. I was all in. As soon as I saw it, I started using it. About 10 years in, then the failure started coming. So that was a nightmare.
What year was this?
Man, I would say maybe mid-2000s. Maybe.
Failure, you mean?
Yeah, the failure started coming in like 2006, 2007, 2008.
What do you mean failure?
Like the decking started failing. Like Trek's decking, a lot of it just started crumbling. Like... and delaminating and cracking, and just, you know, they had a huge issue. They had some of the stabilizers they put in it, and there's other, I mean, I'm not going to get into all the negativity of it all, but you know, they made good on a lot of it, but you know, they would replace or repair, they'd replace the decking, but they wouldn't really pay for the labor. Some people they did, some people they didn't. I really don't know, you know, the whole nine yards of it all, but that's when I started, like in 2006, 2005, 2004. I started looking at this stuff and saying, huh, I want to start building in circles and curves and things like that. I was like, I wonder if I can get this stuff to bend. How do I get this stuff to bend?
Because it is like plastic.
This is where Dr. Dex really started to originate, you know? And yeah, it's part plastic, part wood, it's man-made. So we started taking forced air heaters and putting decking inside of sonotubes and suspending it inside the sonotube and trying to heat it up to a temperature that we could make it curve. Not on edge, mind you, but actually on a flat surface so that we could create a curve of the board like this, not just bending it on edge like this, but actually like bending it laterally.
I do remember because you did it on your deck outside.
Yeah, on our back deck.
And you had to cut the board in half.
Yeah, I was trying such a
like,
tight radius that
long way.
We kept breaking boards. I broke about $500-$600 worth of decking and I was stressed out. So what I did was I ripped the boards in half. I put them back in the heater. And then I was able to get them to bend on these tighter radiuses. So after that experience, I was like, there's got to be a better way. And I heard of a couple guys using these things called heat con. I was like, what's a heat con? Well, heat con makes a deck forming kit that you can take and you can heat up decking and create the curves that I was looking to do. But there's a lot of work and science that went into that to figure it out. And composites at the time were really hard to bend, but then we started using this product called PVC. It used to be called Procell, then it became AZEK, and now AZEK's part of the TimberTech family. And so I started doing that, and I kind of went nuts with it. And I was borrowing other heat blankets from other people. And then finally, my wife bought me my first set of HeatCon heating blankets for my birthday back in like maybe 1998, something like that, you know? And that was so much money back then, you know? It was.
The blankets came before the problems with Trex?
Yeah.
You had the heating blankets for a while.
Yeah, it took me a while to acquire them because that was a luxury item, and you know it took some time and effort to achieve. Kiki bought me my first set, and they're like, "Well, if I want to do a 20-footer, I got to have another set." So I saved up, and then I bought another set, and then I started designing in curves. And people are like, "You can build this?" I'm like, "Yeah, I can build it. If I can draw it, I can build it." That was one thing that probably was one of the more important pivotal turn points of Dr. Dex was when I learned how to design curved decks on a computer. Because I was able to show somebody what I could do for them. And I could build to a 95% accuracy to what I was drawing, I could build.
And everyone asks this question.
What?
What's the software?
Oh, yeah. What software is it? You're gonna have to pay for that information. We'll save that for our after show or whatever.
Okay.
Sorry, guys. So you had to exploit the software. You couldn't just design the software like it's meant to be designing. You had to think way outside the box to get it to do what you needed to do. And I knew this guy, Clemens, out of Baltimore, that was so good at exploiting the software. He blew me away. I learned so much in 30 minutes from this guy that I don't think I took any more from him because it was too much. Like, this is enough for me. I don't need to add plants and lighting and people and hot dogs on the grill and all that stuff.
You can add hot dogs?
Huh?
Yeah, you could add hot dogs?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I can add a Lamborghini in your driveway, and I can do all kinds of stuff. Google SketchUp, you import the models from SketchUp Warehouse, 3D Warehouse, and I can put whatever model I find. I was putting iPads on Coke bottles, and then I put Lamborghinis in the driveway, and I'd put all kinds of cool stuff in. But you're just satisfying your own ego at that point. You're not like really nobody, you know. I've never worked for somebody that owns a Lamborghini, but I just thought, oh, I'll put a Bugatti Veyron right here in the driveway. It'll be cool, man.
Or you could factor it into the budget and like get them one at the very end.
Yeah. Car costs more than the deck.
I know.
Sure.
And you can increase your prices by like $200-300K instantly.
Sure. Sure. I'd love that.
This deck came with a free Lamborghini.
That would be good. So I got into deck board bending, and then I got to a point where it's like, you know what? I want to do more. I want to do more than just bend deck boards. So I spent 40 hours building an oven to house my blankets so I could figure out how to bend hand railing. And that's when things got really interesting. I ruined about $1,000 worth of rails right away because I was overcooking them. I was like too hot. I made this oven too good. It just burnt crap to a crisp. So I had to dial it in and dial it down, dumb it down a little bit so that I could actually figure out how long to cook it. And then eventually I put a circulatory fan in it so it would rotate the heat like a convection bake in an oven so that I could make it more equal, because I was charring part of like the very ends of the rails would get really hot. So I was like, how am I going to fix this? So I was like, okay, I got to circulate the heat. So I started doing that, and then I was bending hand railing, and nobody was doing that. Nobody.
I bet you could cook a mean hot dog in there too.
Yeah, cookies. Absolutely. Yeah. About 350 for 30 minutes. But I wouldn't want to mix it with all the fiberglass insulation that's been up in those blankets, man. It'd be make you kind of ill.
And we're a generation of microplastics anyway.
Yeah, right. I've got so much. I'd be a worst case study, man, because I've been inhaling PVC for 20 years. So anyways,
use a mask.
Yeah. And eye protection and a push stick.
Yeah.
So
all problems you have.
Yeah. Don't fall and don't slip. So we'll get into injuries in another episode. Yeah. Actually, you know what? Maybe next week.
We could save it for the premium.
Yeah, man. We should talk about injuries because I've had a few humdingers.
Let's kind of finish the history portion, and then
history.
We can kind of go into more
okay.
Stuff.
So when I started bending hand railing, this magazine called Professional Deck Builder, I got to know the editor a little bit, and he was kind of interested in what I was doing. So I built this bending table. I saw one like a company, a competitor, whatever you want to call it, had put one out, and I looked at it like, huh, I need one of those, but I'm going to build my own. I don't like the way there's a setup. So I went to Rockler and bought all these parts, brought them all back to my shop, spent 40 hours on this hot box, and then spent another probably 10 hours building this adjustable table that I could create any curve and any 8-foot curve, 8-foot on any curve that would fit on a 4x8 sheet of plywood, I could make. I could make it. So, and the thing weighs a freaking ton, man. I can barely lift it by myself. But hey, once it's set up, I'm a gangster. When it all happens. So anyway, I ended up
it's four for them.
Okay. You guys can go. So I have this heat bending table, and I was able to create any curve, any shape, any design I wanted. So I was bending curves. I was designing decks with 6-foot radiuses in them, and then I was able to bend the railing to match the curve of the deck. So that was cool.
It makes sense.
Started doing that. Yeah. Then social, like, okay, so back in 2014, I slipped and I injured myself really bad. I was laid up on the couch. I tore my quadricep completely off my kneecap and had to have it surgically reattached. And I was laid up on the couch and I turned to my wife. And I used to fly RC helicopters as a hobby.
Oh.
I used to fly RC helicopters as a hobby. And I turned to my wife, like, hey, can you take me to the hobby shop? I want to learn how to fly drones. I don't got nothing else to do. I'm bored out of my gourd. I'm stuck here on the couch. So she loaded me up in the car and took me to the hobby shop, got me my first drone. And I learned how to start capturing my work from a different perspective. So like that was like in 2014, I started flying drones.
Seems about right.
And then I think in 2016, or maybe, and then, so like back in 2012, let's go back a couple years. In 2012, we were at Banks Lake on a vacation. And I was sitting at the picnic table with my nieces. And she was on her cell phone. I'm like trying to identify whether it's like, oh, what are you up to? What are you doing? She goes, oh, I'm going to post a picture onto Instagram. I go, oh, what's Instagram? I was like, she said, oh, it's a social media app. I said, just show me. So we took a picture. She took the picture and she uploaded it to Instagram and put some captions and text around it.
Hashtags.
Yeah. And a light bulb went off in my brain like it never had before. I was like, holy crap. I could take this. I could show my portfolio to anyone. My work. I could show my work online. And I could have a place where it's all orchestrated and where people will be able to see it. So she takes the photo, uploads it to Instagram. A light bulb goes off in my head. I start my own page. I didn't really know anything about social media or how to be an influencer or how to be a brand ambassador, anything like that. I just started showing my work and sharing it. And then I got a drone. And I learned how to fly that thing, and I started documenting all my work from an aerial perspective. Mm-hmm. And that's when people really started getting in. Because what I was doing, I was cross-pollinating my hashtags. So I would hashtag deck builder, AZAC, blah, blah, blah. But then I'd hashtag drone, aerial, DJI, quadcopter, and things like that. So I started attracting a different audience than my own audience, right? So my following started going from like 10,000 to 12,000, 14, 16K. I used to, every time I got another 1,000 followers, I would say, thank you, 16K, you know, it was like a thing. And then I did that till about 20,000 followers or something like that.
I remember this.
And then and it just kept going up and up and up. I'm not sure really when things really exploded, but just thanks, guys. Have a great weekend. I'll see you Monday.
The crew's leaving. It's 4 p.m.
Yeah, I got to get these guys out of here. We're going to keep going for a little bit. Yeah, and then like I caught a couple opportunities to, you know, start sharing more information. And as my audience grew and my skill set has evolved as a deck builder, I started doing some really crazy stuff for a while, and a producer out of LA got a hold of it. And I turned to my wife one day. I was like, hey, I'm watching all these build shows and Paula France and Decked Out and all this stuff. And I'm like, I want to do that. So I decided I wanted my own TV show. And I went to my wife, like, hey, I think I want to do my own TV show. She's like, great. How are you going to do that? And I thought, well, maybe I can get with some of these celebrities and they can help me out. That didn't happen.
As you do.
they didn't want to help me at all. They didn't care who I was or what I did. So then I was watching the shows. I'm like, at the end of the show, it always shows a production company.
Yeah.
I'm like, I got to get with a production company. You know, a production mm-hmm. company is how these shows are being made. So I found a production company out of LA that was willing to take us on. So we shot a sizzle reel of some of this automation stuff I was doing, making barbecues expose themselves out of decks and things like that. And we got an opportunity to shoot two pilot episodes of a TV show called The Deck Doctor. So they gave the producers like $300,000 to shoot two pilots of a TV show that focused around me and my team, and Calvin, you were part of it.
But for some reason.
Yeah.
I was a fish out of water there.
Yeah, but you did great. They gave him more leeway and leniency than anybody else on the...
I did whatever I wanted, and they just rolled with it.
And I couldn't wear black. I couldn't wear anything with a logo on it.
I could.
He was wearing his buddy's band's hoodies and all kinds of stuff. I'm like, wait a minute. They just really loved Calvin. I mean, I think if the show would have been called Calvin, we would have got a series.
No. And, absolutely not.
I think so, but he was like comedic relief, and he was just, you know, it was always that tumultuous father-son thing that they tried to make up. We didn't really have, but we just played along with it because we wanted our own TV show, you know?
I didn't submit to that.
So
I didn't subscribe to that.
So anyways... we make it. We made the episodes. It got edited and it aired nationally on the DIY network twice.
Yeah, twice.
But we didn't get a series. I got as close to getting my own television show as you can possibly get without getting one.
We lost to another house flipping show.
Yeah, there was two slots. There was 30 shows vying for two slots in their lineup. And they chose two flip shows because this is 2016. It's like that was the only thing going, the hottest thing going were flip shows. Nobody cared about a deck builder. So the president of Scripps Networks calls me personally, which I thought was kind of cool. At least he had the balls to do that.
Yeah.
And he says, "Hey, Jason, I just want to call you, man." He said, "You know, tough break. I'm really sorry that your show didn't get picked up." He gave me some advice, and I said, "Well, what are you guys looking for, you know?" And he gave me some really good advice and said, "You know, this is what I might be looking for in the future. If you think you got something, you know, get with your producer, or, you know, come to me direct, or if you have a way to document it and let me know." I was like, "You know what? This almost killed me doing this." Like,
I remember. It was rough.
It was wintertime when we were filming, and I was working from dark to dark. Like, I'd leave the house before dark, before sunrise, and I'd get home after sunset every night for 7 nights a week.
And what no one knows really is the fact that you built two decks simultaneously.
Right.
You trade off, like, what, a deck a week?
Yeah, we were building two decks simultaneously to make the demand of the TV show and trying to put all these automations. I was working, my friends, Rex and Jerome, I love you guys. My brother Kevin, we all put everything we had into this, and I was cashing checks that I didn't write. I was calling in favors that I didn't have, all for the opportunity to become great, and it just didn't happen, man. It was soul crushing, depression. Like it affected me for about a year, and then I finally said, "You know what? I don't want this anymore. I don't care. I don't care about the TV show. I think I can do it through YouTube. I think I can do it through social media. And we'll just take it as big as we can for as long as we can that way." And here we are. You know,
yeah.
My
train's coming by.
My train, my Sharona. So can I still talk, or do you want to wait for this train?
I mean, you've talked through the last couple, so.
Sure. Okay. So
if it's a problem.
So it took a toll even on my marriage a little bit, because I was being kind of a butthole about just being so exhausted, tired. I just didn't want to talk. I didn't want to do anything. I just wanted to sleep, because I'd come home. I don't even know if I got undressed. I just went into bed and I just lay my head down and I was done, you know? It was severely demanding emotionally, financially. I mean, it cost me 50, 60K per deck that I lost. Because I was giving out all these automations that took way too much time to perform, that probably don't work anymore, and it was a lot. As a matter of fact, the lady I'm working for right now, the house we're at right now, it was her brother on Vashon Island.
That really?
And they sold that house.
Why?
It had an automated barbecue. Had an automated barbecue, an automated gangway plank, and an automated deck chair that came and folded in. It was really cool. But anybody that hears this podcast or watches this video will understand the emotional turmoil or how much brain power and engineering goes into just one simple automation of a deck. People are going
gaga. And it didn't work the first time.
People are going gaga over a cornhole thing that somebody put on the internet recently about how this part of the deck lifts up and a little bit, and you do it manually. It's not at a push of a button. You do it manually and you play cornhole on the deck. I'm like, that ain't nothing. I'm like,
gotta mark a swear here.
You should have seen what we were doing almost 10 years ago, man. 9 years ago. It was insane what I was doing. Stupid, actually. But anyway, okay, so we get through all that. My deck board bending career is going crazy. We're doing inlays. We did a compass rose in a deck. We lit it up. We start lighting up decks more. Inlight's a real great company that we work with, showing lighting and that kind of thing. It's just been a wild ride, and now we're brand representing a lot of companies. We're going to a lot of trade shows. I'm taking Kiki with me now, which is wonderful. That's something I should have been doing a long time ago, and I haven't. So she kind of helps me manage things while I'm at a show, and catches opportunities that I'm missing, things like that. And I cannot complain. That leads us to today.
Yeah, YouTube came in.
YouTube about 5 years ago.
6 years ago, next Friday, when we were recording this.
No kidding.
Yeah, that's when we started. Valentine's Day 2019 is the first day I started filming. And then I started uploading the next week. Yeah.
And 6 years.
That we started out with 5 videos a week.
What I don't understand, I know, and I probably shouldn't even care, but I've seen a lot of guys starting YouTube channels like in the last year to 2 years, and they have almost as many subscribers as we do, and we've been doing it for 6.
It is what it is, man.
I think so. We're on our own journey.
No hate to anyone. It's right. Just I try to keep reminding you, it's just we're on our own journey doing our own thing. We have our own lives. Like, my life's complex, yours is complex, you know.
Yeah.
Some people, they just want to focus on YouTube, and that's great, and they get good results.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a little bit more going on with us.
Yeah.
You know, like, you can't focus solely on YouTube because we're here on the job site. You're building the decks.
Right.
You know?
Right.
By the way, the client is cool with us doing this, just so you know. We're not slacking off. It's the end of the day. It's the end of the work day. You heard the guys leave.
It's the end of the work week.
Yeah. The end of the work week. So it's like, you know, while things are being packed up and ready to go, let's just knock this out, you know?
Yeah, like, during cleanup time and, like, end-of-day stuff, I don't need to be pointing fingers and looking over everybody's shoulder. I felt it was more genuine of my time to spend an hour doing this, where maybe there's some people out there that, you know, I guess this is a point where I'm saying, you know, what do you guys want to hear from me? What do you want to know?
Yeah. And who do you want to see on the podcast that we can try to get?
Yeah, know? Man. You guys want to see, you know, Ozzy Osbourne maybe, or maybe
just call him
up. Zach Wilde or something like that, you know?
Yeah, invite him on.
Randy Rhodes, you know? Yeah. I don't know. But seriously, let's bring it into our world. And if you guys want to hear from some people, the first guest on my show, should I tell them?
Let's keep it a surprise.
Yeah, I really want to tell you guys.
Well, tell them on the premium episode.
Yeah, yeah.
You want to tell them
very,
about that?
It's a very upper echelon builder. He's almost royalty, this guy.
Okay.
There's your hint.
Okay.
So if you know this man, you probably know who I'm talking about, but one of my best friends in the decking industry. He's on the eastern hemisphere of the United States.
Oh, don't give him too much.
Yeah, okay.
Not
that far east, though.
You got to get him to come back next week. You
know? Yeah, 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 yeah. So, I think I might have skipped over some stuff, and you know, that'll come back at me. But
it's been 30 years, you know.
Yeah.
A lot's happened.
I got a lot under my belt, man. That's all I have to say for now.
All right.
Hey, let me know how we did. Like, if you guys found that interesting, or you don't want to hear about my story, maybe you just want to hear about construction, or is there something else that I'm needing to let you know?
Yeah, like we said, this is just the inaugural first episode. We start with the history, and then as the weeks goes on, we'll get into certain topics, have the guests, things of that nature, you know, podcast stuff.
Yeah, podcast stuff. Dr. Deck's podcast stuff.
So, guys, if you want more podcasts, we're going to have...
A train come by.
We're going to have a train come by. If you want...
Canadian Pacific.
Guys, if you want more of the podcast, we're going to be doing premium episodes along with the regular episodes for free. If you go in the description of the video, or if you're on YouTube, or if you go onto our YouTube, if you're on like Spotify or Apple Podcasts or whatever, there'll be channel memberships. You can join, get some extra bonus stuff. Also, we're going to have a Patreon. So if you want those bonus episodes of the podcast, a little bit talking more freely about, like, you know, because we're not restricted by YouTube stuff over there, you know, like, you know, YouTube wants you to say and not say certain things. You can go over there. Become a member. It supports us. It supports the show. We can just keep making it bigger and better. You know, maybe we can get a set someday, you know?
Hey.
That'd be a cool thing to happen.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys realize that, like, for us to produce a YouTube channel, it costs us money to do that. More money than we would make off the ad revenue. So we're definitely at a deficit. So we're also looking for ways to increase our revenue stream, to help pay Studio Man and his time and his efforts. Obviously I do all right just building decks and doing that kind of thing, but this is Calvin's full-time job. So we want to make sure that we can continue doing this. If this is something that interests you, your support, I'm not going to beg for it, but it would be appreciated.
If you just want some bonus Dr. Deck stuff
yeah,
you wouldn't see otherwise normally.
You know, you want me to fart in a jar and send it your way? Let me know.
I don't know about that. Also, the premium stuff drops the same day as this podcast. If you listened all the way through, thank you very much. If you're a premium member, we're going to see you real soon in the premium episode. So why don't you take us out?
All right, guys. Thanks for listening. We really appreciate it. If you like what you heard or you're watching this on YouTube, don't forget to click that subscribe button on our Dr. Dex channel. And thank you so much for listening, guys. I really appreciate it. Let us know how we did, because we have no idea unless we hear back some feedback. So I'll be promoting this through my Instagram page and on our YouTube channel as well. Thanks so much. Have a great day, guys.
Bye.